Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
What's good? Welcome to the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the third episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and on Spotify. Also, please be sure to subscribe to the Calcio Corner newsletter. It's on Substack. The link is in my bio on Twitter, which is at Italiano Calcio. If you subscribe to the newsletter on Substack, you'll get all the new content emailed right to your inbox as I post it. You could also read the content on the website link that is, again, on my Twitter handle. It's currently free to sign up, so please do so. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast, The Calcio Corner. The Twitter handle is at The Calcio Corner. So just a quick update. For those of you not too familiar, Recently, the East Coast here in the United States, parts of the East Coast, I should say, got hit with a hurricane, and I live in New York. While, you know, by me was not severely impacted by this hurricane, there was certainly, you know, some damage, some trees down and whatnot, and I have been without internet for a few days now, and I'm hoping to get it back soon. So if you notice, my presence on Twitter and has been down. Also, I haven't been able to get online to obviously produce content on my newsletter for on Substack. But again, just subscribe to that. Internet should be up soon, so I'll certainly be getting back to my usual posting and whatnot. But I'm able to record this podcast and produce it at someone else's house that has internet quickly. So it's going to be a quick podcast, not as long as usual, but I just wanted to give a little update of what's been going on in the world of football in Italy. So the big news that has broke, it actually broke today, I'm recording this on Thursday, August 6th, this podcast, that it's official that Daniel Friedkin is all set to take over as Roma's new owner. He's going to purchase the club from James Pelota, a rumor that has been going on for a little less than a year now, but it's now become official, although the actual takeover has not happened yet. The agreement is in place, and Daniel Friedkin says that he is hoping to be able to close this deal by the end of this month. Ironically enough, Friedkin is also an American, so they were owned by James Pelota, an American, and now Daniel Friedkin, also an American, set to take over at Roma. So it'll be interesting to see how, with this new ownership group, how Roma approached this summer transfer market. Roma did close out this previous season with a bang. I mean, they went unbeaten over their last eight games and won seven of those. So they really gave their fans plenty of reason to be optimistic heading into the new season. So, you know, if they are able to have a strong mercato, if Daniel Friedkin comes in early enough and you know, brings in the funds and whatnot and wants them to have a strong mercato and they identify some good players to bring in and strengthen this team, you couple that with the way that they close out this previous season, certainly if I'm a Roma fan, I'm very optimistic heading into next season. But before we talk a little bit about Friedkin, let's just reminisce a little bit about James Pelota's time as Roma's owner. It certainly came with some mixed reviews. He brought the club back in 2011, so he had it under his ownership for just under a decade. I do think Roma took a lot of steps forward as a club under Pelota. I feel like they did a great job at growing their global presence. And, you know, they had some great seasons under Pelota. If you think about the run of finishes they had under Pelota's time as their owner, they finished in 7th, 6th, 2nd, 2nd, 3rd, 2nd, 3rd, 6th. In this previous season, they finished out in 5th. So they were, you know, had a nice run of qualifying for the Champions League. Who could forget that run in 2018 when they mounted that huge comeback against Barcelona. Manolas had that big header goal, and they reached the semifinals of the competition. So they had some on-field success with Pelota, but no trophies, unfortunately. And, of course, that's what the Roma fans are aching for. They want to lift the trophy. But on the field, they certainly made some improvements. As I said, off the field, they made improvements as well. I feel like they have become a much more recognizable brand globally. They have one of the best social media accounts out there in the world of football. So their social media presence has grown, as well as their media content in general on TV and on radio. Under Pelota, the club launched Roma Radio back in 2014, a station dedicated, you know, 100% to all things Roma. They do a great job getting players and coaches on there for interviews. They do a lot of fun stuff on that radio station. And anyone could listen worldwide to that Roma's radio station through the various apps that exist out there to listen to radio content, as well as on their website. So he's did a great job with that. Again, and that all kind of goes into growing this brand globally. You know, he tried to get a new stadium built for the club. There's obviously, as it always seems to be in Italy, some sort of issues with getting stadiums built with the government and whatnot. But he had made progress, obviously, in that process of getting the club a new stadium. Now, Pelota did receive a lot of criticism from the fan base for selling some of their best players. You think about, they sold the likes of Nainggolan, they sold Mohamed Salah, Ali Sun, Manolas, and others. Francesco Totti, he often criticized, you know, James Pelota once he retired and their ownership group. You know, he kind of said stuff like the ownership group pushed the Roman players out. You know, think of De Rossi and Alessandro Florenzi. So they kind of caused some friction between Totti and the Roma club, which is never a good thing. So that's some of the criticism that came Pelota's way. Friedkin, who is now set to purchase the club if all goes well, he has a net worth of $4.1 billion. Pelota has a net worth of $1 billion. So you have an owner taking over that has a net worth of four times as much as your previous owner. So no, that doesn't mean that the club is going to, you know, start spending crazy money in the transfer market like a PSG or Manchester City. But this new ownership group does have deeper pockets. So that's, you know, a reason to be optimistic if I'm a Roma fan. Perhaps they could figure out a way to get Chris Smalling on a permanent move from Manchester United. He had a great season while on loan at the club. The Roma fans really embraced him, and they want to see him come back to the club. I think Chris Smalling wanted to stay here, stay at Roma, I should say. So maybe the Friedkin group could, you know, endear themselves early on to this Roma fan base and figure out a way to sign Chris Smalling from Manchester United on a permanent move. There had been some rumors about the club selling potentially Edin Dzeko. Of course, Inter is another team that's being linked to him, just as they were last season. But with Friedkin taking over, I don't see this happening. The Roma fans love Dzeko. He's kind of becoming like an icon at that club, and he means so much to the club, to those fans. I don't see Friedkin selling him in a move that would likely tick off the Roma fan base. And, you know, you don't want these fans coming in. You don't want these fans thinking with the new owner coming in that, you know, oh, here we go again. We're selling off our best players. Something that, again, as I mentioned, Pelota was criticized for. So I don't think Dzeko's going anywhere. Perhaps if Pelota had stayed as owner, who knows what could have happened. But I think Friedkin is, you know, committed to building this team up. And, you know, selling Dzeko in his first summer as the owner of Roma would not be a good way to endear himself and welcome himself to the Roma fans. Some advice that I would give Daniel Friedkin, on top of not selling Edin Dzeko, is just to have a physical presence in Rome. Whether it's he himself who's going to be spending a lot of time in Rome, or someone that he trusts that also represents the ownership of this club, to have a presence felt and seen in Rome. You know, one of the knocks on Pelota was that he was really seen and really present in Rome, and it felt like from the fan base that they had an absent owner. You look at Rocco Commisso, he made his presence felt very much so in his first season as the owner of Fiorentina. He was very visible in Florence as well as his son. So, you know, the Roma fans want something like that. They want, again, whether it's Daniel Friedkin himself or someone that's very close to him that represents the ownership group, the Roma fans want to know that the owner is, you know, going through the struggles with them if the club is not performing well, is taking part in the joy if the club is having a nice run of success. The fans want an owner that feels connected to the city, that knows how, you know, the Romans are living, how they feel, how they operate day to day. That's something that Pelota did a bad job at, that he was often criticized. So my advice to Friedkin would be, whether it's he or someone close to him that represents the ownership group, to make their presence felt in Rome. Be there, be visible, not just, you know, on game day, but be seen and felt within the city of Rome. Another piece of advice that I would give Friedkin would be to bring back Francesco Totti in some capacity. That doesn't mean he has to have some official position with the club or some title, but you got to patch up the relationship that, you know, got fractured and didn't really exist anymore between he and Pelota's ownership group when they owned the club. Totti is obviously the face of this club, and he will likely always remain the face of this club. He needs to be present at the Olympico. He needs to be a person that, you know, these Roma players could reach out to and whatnot. Just, you got to get him back in the good graces of the club. It should be something easy now with Friedkin taking over. It's a totally different ownership group. So Totti, those ill feelings towards Pelota, or, you know, they're not gone, but it doesn't matter anymore because Pelota won't be owning the club if this sale obviously officially does go through. But you got to get Totti back with the club. So, you know, as we continue to learn more about this new takeover from Friedkin and whatnot, we will certainly continue to cover it here on the Calcio Corner podcast. And again, according to Friedkin, it sounds like he's hoping that everything will be finalized by the end of this month. So I wanted to move on to Buy It or Sell It to cover some of the big storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. We will start with number one. Good move by Inter, making the Alexis Sanchez move a permanent one. I have to buy this one. In his first season at Inter, Alexis Sanchez, he did a pretty good job, all things considered. He had an injury that knocked him out for a little bit, but he certainly provided a spark off the bench when asked to do so, and when he was called upon to make a start, he did a good job as well. What made this permanent move even better was that Manchester United agreed to terminate Alexis Sanchez's contract, allowing him to join Inter on a free move, so Inter didn't have to shell out any money to acquire Sanchez. It was initially being reported that United would be asking for somewhere between 10 to 15 million euro. No, that's not a boatload of money, but it's money that Inter got to save in the transfer market. Manchester United didn't totally let him go for free in a sense, because they, by terminating his contract, they saved a lot of money in salary. So that's the benefit that they got out of this. But good job by Inter signing him on a free transfer. He certainly, as I said, did a good job in his first season at Inter in the capacity that he was asked to play. He ultimately signed a 3-year contract with the club, and it's reported that he'll make 7 million per season. If you kind of think about it, Inter had some good luck this past year with some of these Manchester United castaways. They signed Lukaku, obviously. He had an historical good season for Inter. We mentioned Alexis Sanchez, and they also member signed Ashley Young back in January. So they've had some luck with these former Manchester United players. Perhaps they'll be looking back at that club this summer to bring in another player that could have some success. Who knows? But a good move, again, bringing in Alexis Sanchez, or I should say keeping Alexis Sanchez, to help give Inter more depth up front to go along with Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez. Number two, buy it or sell it. Inter should swap Skriniar for Tottenham's midfielder and Ndombele. This is a tough one. I want to say I would buy it, but contingent upon who Inter would bring in to replace Skriniar. We all know how good of a defender Skriniar is. However, he certainly did not perform as well this season playing in a three-man back line for Antonio Conte. We saw Stefan De Vrij excel. He was actually named the top defender in Serie A this past season. We saw their youngster Alessandro Bastoni have a good season. But Skriniar, as I said, he did struggle at times. If he stays, he certainly could improve in year two. But perhaps Antonio Conte feels just he isn't the right player for his system and a good fit. And if he doesn't really feel that we're going to get an improvement, then perhaps he could swap him out now for a player like Ndombele. Inter have been linked to Verona's defender, Marash Kumbula, who had an excellent season for Verona. He was one of the reasons why Verona had a good first season back in Serie A. They had one of the stingier defenses. And Verona obviously played with a three-man back line. So you know if you are able to sign Kumbula that he's not going to have any issue adjusting to a three-man back line. The only, you know, issue would be, could he repeat this success he had this previous season? How does jumping to a club like Inter from Verona affect him? But in terms of tactics, he's well adept at playing in a three-man back line. However, obviously, Inter not the only club after Kumbula. Lazio are also pursuing him. Some people have him as the favorites, if you believe certain reports. So they certainly would have to act if they want to get Kumbula. And if they end up doing this swap deal, Skriniar for Ndombele, that could up their pressure to sign Kumbula. You think about the potential defense that Inter could have if they make the deal and sign Kumbula. You do Kumbula, Skriniar, and Bastoni. That's a pretty good back three for Conte, if you ask me. Now, in terms of Ndombele, I'd be lying if I said I was very familiar with him. I haven't really seen him play that much. I just a little reading, he's going to be 24 years old later this year. He's still a fairly young player. I know he made a big move to Tottenham this past summer from Lyon. And, you know, if Inter and Conte feel that Ndombele is the right player to add to their midfield to make him better, then, you know, you got to trust them with their evaluations and decision-making. You know, if Inter made this swap move, I would assume that it would not prevent them from still pursuing Sandro Tonali. I couldn't imagine that if Inter would risk passing on Tonali for the likes of Ndombele. Again, I don't mean any disrespect to Ndombele, but we know that Tonali seems destined to be this world-class talent. From a Tottenham perspective, there were, you know, some issues between Jose Mourinho and Ndombele, so that could be why perhaps Mourinho was pushing him out. And we know Mourinho loves his defenders, and perhaps he views Skriniar as that type of defender he wants. Also, if you consider that member Tottenham are losing Jan Vertonghen, his contract has expired and they're not renewing it. So there's a void there as from a central defender position. So Skriniar could be a person that Jose Mourinho has identified to just slide into his starting 11. So I would definitely make this deal if I'm Inter, if you could bring in a good defender to replace Skriniar. Because again, even though Skriniar struggled a bit this season in that three-man back line, he's still such a good defender. So to kind of just get rid of him without having a good backup plan, I would not advise. Kumbula is the player that they perhaps are really after from Verona. So if you could get him in, essentially you would be getting rid of Skriniar for Ndombele and you'd bring in Kumbula. It's a move that I would make if I'm Inter. Number three, buy or sell it. Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to leave Juventus this past winter to join PSG. I really don't know what to believe about this. I could see this rumor being true, but I'm going to sell it ultimately. So recently there was a report in France Football that said Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to leave Juventus this past January to join PSG, but it ended up not happening due to COVID-19, the pandemic, and shutdown, and made the move very difficult. The report did mention that, you know, Ronaldo had a lot of desire to play with the likes of Neymar and Mbappe. It also mentioned that while Ronaldo's not totally unhappy in Turin, at the same time, he's not very happy. You know, the lure of playing in a major city like Paris perhaps appeals to Ronaldo. Here's a player who came over from Madrid before going to Juventus. So, you know, Paris, Madrid, certainly more similar than Turin, which is a more quiet city. Look, I can't see Ronaldo leaving Juventus in January. I should say I couldn't see him leaving Juventus this past January in the middle of a season. I just don't think Ronaldo would have done that. If the report said that Ronaldo wanted to leave Juventus this summer coming up to join PSG, and in the pandemic maybe impacted it in regards of, you know, the clubs and their finances and whatnot, and it wasn't a possible move for PSG to make this summer, I could buy that report. But I couldn't see Ronaldo leaving Juve in January in the middle of a season. I'm not denying the fact that perhaps Ronaldo has a desire to go play for PSG. We know their owner is obsessed with trying to get him there. You know, PSG has landed Neymar and Mbappe over recent years. You know they would love to get Ronaldo. And it would certainly be a move that could ultimately thrust them into contenders for the Champions League finally. But again, I just don't see him. I couldn't see him leaving Juve in January. There's been some reports in Italy that say Ronaldo's been a bit upset. You know, he ended up not finishing as Serie A's top goal scorer. He wasn't named the MVP of Serie A. It was given to his teammate Paulo Dybala. You know, Ronaldo might be thinking, here I am, I scored 31 goals, way more than Dybala. How come I'm not, you know, the MVP of the league? But whatever the case may be, it's certainly an interesting report that came out of France Football. Again, whether you believe it or not, I'm not sure. But I'm not denying the fact that there could be some desire on some level for Ronaldo to play in a city like Paris, for a club like PSG with the likes of Neymar and Mbappe. Next buy or sell it, number four. Lazio should avoid signing David Silva and target younger players instead. I'm going to sell this one. Sure, David Silva is 34 years old, but I feel he would be a great addition for a club like Lazio. You'd be getting him on a free transfer, so there's no risk in terms of committing some, you know, pricey price tag to pay for the guy. Lazio are in the Champions League this upcoming season, so adding a player with the experience that David Silva has and will bring with him and all the winnings he's done for club and country, it would just be a great addition for that locker room and on the field for that club. if you think about, if you had the likes of David Silva with Joaquin Correa, Luis Alberto, and assuming they keep Milinkovic-Savic, if I'm Chiro Immobile, I'm thinking that, you know, this upcoming season I could score even more than 36 goals and actually break the record, a single season scoring record, and hold that title all for myself. So I would love adding a player like David Silva if I'm a Lazio fan and I'm the club. You know, we saw them have success when they signed a player like Miroslav Klose towards the end of his career back in 2011. He had a nice run with the club, scoring goals still. So I know that they would be looking for similar success to David Silva, with David Silva. And again, there are reports saying that there is a deal perhaps close between Silva and Lazio. It would just be a great move for the club to help raise their profile, to add a player as recognizable and decorated as David Silva. Last one, number five, buy or sell it, the hype of Jeremy Boga. I'm going to buy the hype for Jeremy Boga. We've seen players before, obviously, how many times have breakout seasons and totally just flame out. But I don't think that's going to be the case with Boga, who certainly had a breakout season this year with Sassuolo. He scored 11 goals. He really came out of nowhere and played such a critical role for Sassuolo, having the good season that they did and helping them to finish eighth place. He's a versatile player. He could play in several different roles all over the field, left, the right, the middle, midfield, more up front as a winger. He certainly is a more offensive-minded player, as you can see with the 11 goals. So he does have room to improve on the defensive side if he wants to become an even more complete player. But he's only 23 years old, so he's still fairly young, so give him time. You know, he's just coming into his own now. Jeremy Boga has been linked to the likes of Napoli, Atalanta, and Marseille in France. Obviously, we know Napoli, big club. Unfortunately, they're not in the Champions League this upcoming season unless they ended up winning it this year. So, you know, would Jeremy Boga be more appealed to join a team like Atalanta, who could offer him the Champions League if he wants to stay in Italy? Or is the lure of turning down Napoli too great compared to Atalanta, even though Atalanta's had a nice little run of success these past two seasons? Does he just view Napoli as a more lateral move? When I did some research on Jeremy Boga, I found out, even though he's represented the Ivory Coast on an international level, I found out that he was actually born in Marseille. So is there an appeal for him to return to Marseille, return home, if the club is in fact actually interested in signing him? Or does he want to stay in Italy, in which case it looks like he would choose between Atalanta or Napoli, unless he ended up staying at Sassuolo? But the club are asking for about $25 million for Jeremy Boga, which is certainly a nice price tag for Sassuolo, and money that they could reinvest in some other young talent that they could continue to grow, develop, and sell for huge profits, just like Jeremy Boga, because back in 2018, the club only paid around €3.5 million for him. So if you sold him for around $25 million, that's certainly a nice profit. So as I said, that money could be reinvested to bring in some other young talents, identify some more young talents that eventually you could grow, develop, and sell for great profits later. So that'll do it for the third episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify. Also, please subscribe to the Calcio Corner newsletter on Substack. Again, the link for that is in my Twitter bio, at Italiano Calcio. Feel free to leave a rating, guys, a comment. It would all be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.